Well, there goes the theme, and here I am. It's Alan, and it's good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Tuesday, December 13th. Today, we'll take a look at how President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet is shaping up. Who are the Republicans' latest picks for some of the top spots in the federal government? We want to hear your thoughts on them. How do you think these appointments will fare? Do the choices make sense for a Trump presidency that is set to work with a Republican-led Congress? What will be the signature issues they raise? So give us a call, 1-800-348-2551. That's right. Write it down. 1-800-348-2551. Be with us and join the fun. Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan. President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet is shaping up. Today, Rex Tillerson, the head of ExxonMobil, was announced as Trump's pick for Secretary of State. Former presidential candidate Rick Perry has reportedly been chosen to run the Energy Department. It's an agency Perry vowed to dismantle during his 2012 presidential run, and when he was listing agencies he'd get rid of, he forgot the Energy Department. Scott Pruitt, the Oklahoma Attorney General, who has called himself an opponent of what he says is the EPA's activist agenda, has been picked to lead the agency. And retired Marine General James Mad Dog Mattis has been tapped by Trump to be defense secretary. These are just a few of President-elect Trump's picks. Now, keep in mind, most of the cabinet nominations require Senate confirmation. But in any case, how do you think these appointments will fare? Do the choices make sense for a Trump presidency that is set to work with a Republican-led Congress? What will be some of the signature issues they focus on? We'll start with Bill. 1-800-348-2551. Bill, you there? Bill, are you there?
Good afternoon. Yes, I'm here, Alan.
Good.
Alan, you stole my thunder. I was going to say to you and your audience, do you remember Rick Perry's infamous oops?
Yep.
He was going to eliminate the Department of Education, EPA, and oops, the Department of Energy. Now, how ironic is that? And secondly, Pruitt is going to be, well, if he's approved, the head of the EPA. Now, he's brought lawsuits against the EPA. That seems ironic, too.
So, Bill, who is calling these shots? In other words, is Donald Trump the guy who's sitting there picking these guys, or is there someone else? Dark music in the background. Go.
I think Mr. Trump and also the transition team.
Well, it's easy enough to say the transition team, but his senior advisor, the guy from Breitbart, it seems to me is the guy who may well be picking, and that's what the advice.
Oh, okay.
That's what I think the advice is here. So it's fascinating stuff. When you mentioned Pruitt, and I have a couple of things here. This is extraordinary stuff. And I just want to remind everybody of that number, 1-800-348-2551. Okay, so Scott Pruitt is the Oklahoma Attorney General, who is a close ally of the fossil fuel industry. Now, I am so sorry. I'm sorry to take it out on all of you, but the idea that your grandchildren and their children will be put at risk because this world is warming up, and you get a guys for a couple of measly bucks who do their thing and appoint people like Pruitt. It's just unbelievable to me that you would put a denier in there. Anyway, Bill, thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much.
Take care, Alan.
Okay, bye. And now we'll go to Marta. Okay, Marta in Poughkeepsie. Marta, you're on.
Hi, Dr. Shartok. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know I'm freaking out, right?
Sure. Join the club.
This to me looks like, I know, and everyone I talk to, just about everyone is as upset or worse than the state I'm in, because what I think we're witnessing is a train that's about to have a train wreck. And if we don't halt this deadline and slow it down and say, let's double check, we've been cyber hacked by the Russians, that's an act of war as far as I know. And let's look at the discrepancies in places like Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. and Michigan, where, you know, people were suppressed from being able to vote, where the accurate count is not being allowed to be made because they're hiding something. If everything was on the up and up, they wouldn't be saying, no, you can't recount. And, you know, every day we hear about a new appointee that's going to be a disaster for years and years of hard-won progress in terms of protecting our civil rights, in terms of protecting our environment. And we're just supposed to all roll over and say, oh, well, this is democracy. I don't think this is democracy.
Well, you certainly are right when you talk about how many million extra votes Hillary got over to 2 million.
What I hear, and that's with the
2,700,000
careful audit that need to have.
Well, you know, it's still, no matter what happens, this is a guy who's running around talking about having gotten a mandate. What mandate? I mean, she got so many more votes than he did. In any case, 1-800-348-2551. You're very articulate, Marta. Thank you for calling. I can use some more calls now. Thank you. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. So, you know, so Rick Perry, let's talk about him for a minute while people are calling. Trump has selected this former Texas governor. He has proposed scrapping the Energy Department while he was seeking the Republican nomination for president. So, of course, you would send a signal out saying we're going to put a guy in who doesn't want anything on energy, and we're going to put a guy in for Secretary of State who's the head of ExxonMobil. Okay, so Secretary of State is the president and chief executive at ExxonMobil, whose ties with the Russian President Vladimir Putin may draw scrutiny during the confirmation process. Tillerson has never worked for the government, according to NPR, or anyone other than Exxon since 1975. Well, I'll tell you one thing. There are an awful lot of people on the phones right now. We'll go to Regu in Albany. Regu, you're on.
Hello. Did you call me, Regu?
I did.
Okay, I want to bring to the notice of all your listeners two articles in the New York Review of Books, December issues, both of them, December 8th and December 22nd. You can go to the website, nybooks.com.
Okay, that's fine, but give us the gist. Go ahead.
Yes, it is about the Rockefeller Family Fund versus ExxonMobil, and it talks about ExxonMobil's long-standing campaign to deceive people about climate change. And the CEO of ExxonMobil is now nominated to be the Secretary of State.
Indeed, that is true. Regu, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to Matthew in Monroe. All right, Matthew in Monroe, you're on.
Hello, Alan. How are you today?
I'm good, Matt.
So before the election, there was a lot of talk about how America is so great because we have free and fair elections.
Right.
How does that figure in with Russia influencing the election, especially on one side, the way that it did?
Well, what do you think?
I think after the election, nobody cares anymore.
Oh, I think a lot of people care. I think
nobody in the media.
I don't think that's true. We spent an hour and a half talking about it this morning on the round table.
Well, you're special.
Well, that's what everybody says when confronted with. But take the New York Times and take the Washington Post and NPR and the cable people. They have all really been talking a good deal about Russia. I think we can't allow ourselves to say it's the media's fault. One of the things I notice, Matthew, about that's going on from my mail now is I'm getting as much stuff, you know, we're called lefties, commies, pinkos, you name it, from all over the place. And yet I'm getting a lot of mail from the left saying, you're not doing enough. You're not doing enough. It's your fault. So I have my doubts about that. But in any case, the Russian thing is very dangerous. I think the Republican establishment, and by that I mean the sort of George Bush's papa and son and others, have known about Trump from the very beginning. And I think what's happening is that people are laying back and not doing anything till they have a reason to. And the reason came up much earlier than they thought. So that now you have the Speaker of the House, you have the head guy in the Senate, Republicans all coming out and saying we have to investigate this. What do you make of that?
Well, my one anecdotal evidence, I watched the Sunday morning shows on CNN, and a lot of the shows said things like, oh, Donald Trump is going to be different. You know, Donald Trump's going to be different. He has this pick, he has that pick. He's not what we're going to expect from a normal presidential candidate. Like, even, you know, I just think it's a little weird that they're normalizing the involvement of other countries and the ridiculousness of his picks. You know, people who directly oppose the departments or are completely unqualified for the department.
Well, to some degree, you're right. I got to tell you, though, that I'm so old that I remember Dwight Eisenhower and his picks. And they were pretty conservative picks, guys like Charlie Wilson. You know, what's good for GE is good for America. And it may not have been GE, but whatever. You know,
At that time, it probably was. GE made things here still.
Okay. Matthew, thank you for your call. We're going to take a very short break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMT comes from Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts. Offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery. The New York State Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, celebrating 35 years serving the public, wishing WAMC listeners happy holidays. 800-342-3661. J. Rich Clothing, Northampton, Massachusetts. Contemporary menswear by Theory, Bugatti, Hartford, Robert Graham and Hudson, Main Street, Northampton, jrichclothing.com and Instagram. Clipcentric Albany, a local video services division of Clipcentric, producing video advertisements for businesses throughout the capital region for web, mobile, and TV. albany.clipcentric.com. And College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, for over 30 years specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair and 24-hour towing. Full-service gas includes checking of fluids, tire pressure, and window washing. CollegeStreetMotors.com.
And we are back. Yes, we are. Thanks to Zachary. Now we'll go to Mike in Highland. All right, Michael, you're on. Go ahead.
How you doing, Al? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I don't think we should be surprised, or at least I'm not surprised, by the people he's filling his cabinet with. This is exactly what he said he was going to do. He's pro-business. He's pro-fossil fuel industry, and he was talking about taking away, the regulations that are stifling the growth of America. So I'm not surprised by what he's doing, and this is what we end up with. This is what the fruition of his labor.
Well, you know, Mike, it's interesting that you say that, because with Trump, he sort of talks out of both sides of his mouth sometimes. Now, let me give you an example. He was not good to the street during the campaign, and yet you see him filling his cabinet with these guys.
Yeah,
so,
but you know what that is, yeah. Alan? That's wink, wink. You know?
Explain.
He's gonna. You say one thing, but you do another thing. He is tight with all those people on the street.
Well, I think there are a lot of people who saw. You know, who don't know the wink wink idea, but who, you know, were in Minnesota, Wisconsin, other places, who saw that sort of anti New York street rhetoric as being, as being something that they could vote for.
But then look at how they loved him, because now all of a sudden he's in and we're at all time records.
Well,
and that's going to crash too.
Well, there you go. Oh, I'm sure we're going the other way. Mike,
yeah.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, bye. We'll go to Nico in Duanesburg. Nico, you're on. Go ahead.
Hello, Dr. Shartok. Thank you for having me on. I'll start by saying I actually went into the studio back when I was a senior in high school and actually talked with you about New York State budget. So long story short, it's a pleasure to be back on with you. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Nico.
So I admit that, you know, I'm 28 years old, so I'm, you know, a younger viewer or listener. And I'm now to the point where I'm really quite frustrated, because you look at the 60s and you look at this, you know, this enlightened movement, right, where people were rejecting this left-right paradigm, which in reality, the left-right paradigm, I believe, is installed in order to keep us fighting against one another rather than actually solving our own issues. It's a great way for our elite to maintain control. But I'm really frustrated with that generation. I mean, you look at this rejection of the paradigms, and 30 years later, I mean, with the control of corporate media and the CIA being, you know, in the business of disseminating information through the media, I'm quite frustrated with that generation. I mean, how could we go from that type of a movement to, you know, 30, 40 years later? I mean, we're doing the same things we were doing before that. I think this is the best we can come up with at this point.
You got any ways in which we could get to, for example, the baby boomers? Is there something we could do? Because we get a lot of calls saying, hey, stop bitching about all of this. You know, this is, you know, you got to come up with solutions. You got a solution?
I understand. I don't, you know, this is what I've found in my time. I spent time in the military.
Yeah.
And the system as a whole, I don't think that you can put forward any, you know, one type of program to change it. I mean, obviously, the first thing we have to do is reverse Citizens United and get money out of politics.
That ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen for a while.
Funded.
Hey, Nico, that
well,
isn't
I mean,
going to
happen. You're asking, you know, you're asking for suggestions. I mean, and that's
but
that's
doable, so doable suggestions. Do we have to wait 4 years and? By the way, in 4 years, a lot of Supreme Court justices could be reappointed.
Yes, from that standpoint, absolutely. But there are movements out there that are looking to bring apart a constitutional convention by making this law in each state, one state at a time. There are a few states who have actually ratified this and called for an article, a constitutional convention. So that is definitely one way of doing it. I agree with you in terms of putting it through the House and the Senate, never going to happen. But my point that continue about my time in the military, I've realized that the only way you can make change is in what we used to call our 3 to 5 meter area, your immediate area, the people you touch every day in your lives. And I think that is our best bet. And I think that the movement to a constitutional convention through every state, I think that that's our best bet so
okay.
far.
Okay, Nico, thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Okay, now we're going to go to our old friend Jules in Hillsdale. All right, Jules, you're on. Hi, Jules.
Hey, Alan, how are you this afternoon?
Well, pretty good.
Good. One of the things that I think at the moment what I'm really concerned about is that Trump himself or the Trump team has asked for the names of climate scientists that have been working on climate change and for those that attended the UN Climate Change Conference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, all that says to me is here's Trump's old technique coming back. You publish names out there, then you basically give license to your stormtroopers to go after them in any way they please. And you disassociate yourself from that. I mean, we've seen it with Megyn Kelly. We've seen it with other things. This is very, very dangerous.
Indeed, it is. And what should be done to, you know, mitigate it?
Yeah, well, of course, there's a refusal to release names. And basically, yes, we'll give you all the stuff that's public data, but we're not going to release names.
Well, but you know, that'll only last until, you know, January 20th. Then after that,
right. Now,
they'll search
right,
the files.
It's going to be the responsibility of all of us to, you know, if we have any of these people as friends and neighbors, to support them and to whatever we can do to go after this this nonsense where, Trump has empowered the same thing for hate crimes and other things. He's empowered this group of people that now feel that they have free reign. Mm-hmm. I don't know ultimately how we're going to change that, maybe through the courts, whatever, but we need to work on it. And again, as Dicko said, probably starting from the local level. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, what are your comments on the letter from the from some of the electors today to the CIA requesting information on the Russian hacking.
Now, these are the Democratic electors, basically, right?
Right?
Yeah. So, as we just a little primer so that we all remember that the electors are chosen. They run for office. They are chosen by the political party who want to win. They are the loyalists. They are the people who you can expect to be solid for you. The Republicans have them and the Democrats have them. That's why all the people are calling me saying, hey, we got to get on those Republican electors to change their votes. Well, there's a possibility, Jules, of that only because there are regular Republicans and then there are Trump Republicans. And we know that the Republican regular Republicans are pretty ticked off about Trump's winning. So you see it coming out with McCain, Lindsey Graham, you know, Susan Collins, you name them. They're all sort of there. So I don't know. But when a Democratic elector asks for it, it's basically worthless. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yep.
Hey, well, Jules.
I don't know. Is this setting a precedent? I don't know of any.
Yeah.
Other
no. I can't. I can't remember this. Yeah. I can't remember them getting this kind of publicity, electors. Except you got to remember something. This is as rare as hen's teeth. Usually, the popular vote person wins the election. And I used to tell my students at New Paltz in Albany, you know, the day that the Electoral College is different from the popular vote, you'll see people out with pots and pans. Wrong. Okay, right. Jules, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much.
Okay, Alan, thank you.
And thanks for all your communications. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Rick in Warren, Connecticut. Okay, Rick, you're on. Warren, Massachusetts.
It was either Terry Gross or another NPR newsflash commented about a gentleman named, or not a gentleman, a jerk named Alec Jones, who is syndicated on 160 radio stations and was responsible for, okay, so you're familiar with this guy.
Yes, very much so.
As being responsible for the pizza, the assault on the pizza place.
Right, he put out that, what we call the false news story, right.
Okay. Now, one of two things I'd just like to quickly ask you. One is, why is the Democratic Party so weak in the knees where they do not sue Alec Jones and the 160 radio stations for either slander or libel in stating that Hillary Clinton was running a child exploitation ring?
Well, the one who would have the one who would have that status to sue would obviously be Hillary. And in New York Times versus Sullivan, you remember the New York Times case, it was quite clear that if you are a public figure, it's almost anything is fair game to be said about you.
So that's immaterial. I'm just talking about sucking the money out of these radio stations through law fees.
Well,
it's an exercise of finances.
Well,
let them just run it through the courts and pay the lawyers.
Remember that the people who do that have to put up some money also. I can't tell you. I was reading a novel today. It turns out that about a third of the novel is about me and is about, you know, making fun of me and the rest of the stuff. And you know, it's just unbelievable. I'm not suing anybody. That's what the First Amendment's about. I sympathize with what you're saying. I just don't think it would work.
I think if people would be scared I just think finances would hit. And secondly, as far as Donald Trump not making it the full 4 years, I think he's probably going to be somehow incapacitated through health.
Could be.
And I don't think it's going to be because of natural causes.
Could be. Rick, thank you for your call.
I think there's a shadow government out there,
Could be. Thank you for your call, Rick. Appreciate it very much.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to, Danny in New Windsor. Danny, you're on.
How you doing, Alan? I'll be able to speak. But we have qualifications for teachers to become teachers, fairly rigorous standards and stuff. Don't you find it quite interesting that there's no qualifications to become president of the United States?
How would you do that? Would you say, okay, you got to have a law degree, or you have to have a certain amount of money?
Something, but it's just interesting.
Well,
what would you do?
What would you say?
That's a good question. I mean, maybe greater minds than that can figure that out.
Well, you're the one who brought it up. So.
Well, let's put it this way. I mean, maybe at the very least, hold some other office.
Well, so the only way to qualify would have been part of the political class to begin with. Danny, you and I both know that your idea is, I'm sympathetic to your idea, and I think where you're going is correct. Nevertheless, I don't think you can do it.
The second question is that he seems to want to drain the swamp, but he's building a built-in pool with billionaires. What do you think of that?
I don't like it. But he is indeed doing exactly what you say. He's elected by the electoral, he will be elected by the Electoral College, and he is putting in all of the people who have the money in the world to run these things. His philosophy is, hey, you run ExxonMobil, then you better believe you can run the State Department.
Right.
And that's what he is saying. But I don't like it. But if people are calling me all the time, they're writing me all the time, saying, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? That's the issue. What can somebody do? They have to be in touch with their legislators, whether they're Republicans or Democrats. Let's just say there's a Miss Stefanik up in the North Country here. She's Republican, but she walks a pretty good, you know, tightrope between the Democrats and the Republicans. It's a competitive district somewhat. So if she gets a gabillion telephone calls, it's going to make a difference. So, or emails. I would do it. I mean, that would be my view on one of the few things you can do. Hey,
Dan, I think Chris Gibson is fantastic. Right. He seems to be a wonderful
person. But he's walking away from politics, which disturbs me very much, because he's exactly the kind of guy we need. Thank you very much, Danny. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay. We'll go to Roger in Warwick. All right, Roger in Warwick. You're on, Roger. Go.
Hi, Dr. Shah Talk. Very, very timely chiming in right now, because I wanted to speak to you and to everybody who wants to know what to do and give you an idea of one of the options you have.
Yeah, go ahead.
Here in this little village and town of Warwick, New York, we have started to have community meetings. We have organized everybody who wants to come out, Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever, come out and talk with your neighbors and visualize what you want for your community in the future. And to the extent that you see the Trump presidency interfering with your vision, start forming action plans. I think that we need to talk with our neighbors and not so much be talking on the Internet. So that's what we're doing here.
Well, Roger, not that I disagree with you. I think it's a wonderful idea. But don't you think that people should be talking on the Internet, and they should be talking to their neighbors, and they should be talking to their congressmen, and that maybe they should walk out with pots and pans and bang them around a little bit?
Very good point. Let me restate what I should have said better. Speaking on the Internet and not speaking to your neighbors and not being face-to-face, toe-to-toe with other people isn't sufficient.
I believe you. I believe you.
What we found immediately was that many, many people came out and expressed their fears and their desires to do something. And within 2 hours, there were people who were formulating groups to go to our mayor's office, to go to our town board meeting, people who wouldn't have done that before.
Yeah, Roger, you make a lot of sense. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We will go to Michael in Springfield, Massachusetts. Okay, Michael, your turn. Go ahead. Go ahead, Michael.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I have a question for you as a political scientist. I heard some of the discussion about the Electoral College and having a constitutional amendment. My understanding is that there's 13 states who have passed laws that once the number of states that pass these laws reach 270, then all those states' electors would have to vote for the winner of the popular vote nationally.
That is correct.
Now,
that's correct.
Isn't that an easier?
Yeah. No, that's a good thing to do. I mean, I'm all for it. So basically you say the state legislature passes a law, says, okay, you have to have electors representing the will of the people. If that's what we do in this state, that's what you're going to get. You make a very good point. You're right. That's a good way to do it, but the chances of it happening are not that good.
Well, you have 13 states already, so there's not that many more you need.
Oh, yes.
California, Massachusetts.
Oh, yes, there are. Oh, yeah, there are.
But that
13 out of 50 still leaves you a good way to go.
Yeah. Okay.
And I thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it, Michael.
Bye. Thanks, Alan.
Yeah, bye. And we'll go to, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a break, and that'll give us more time when we're coming around the horn to have some extra people. Okay. Go ahead.
Support for WAMT comes from Tom McRae, Edward Jones Financial Advisor on University Drive, Amherst, Massachusetts. Member SIPC, Edward Jones, making sense of investing. EdwardJones.com/Tom McRae. Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve good farmland for good forever. agstewardship.org. Coldham and Hartman Architects, serving residential and institutional clients with architecture designed for resilience and renewability. Designed for the next 100 years, chandharchitects.com. And Amherst Copy and Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign making and design services, from booklets to stationery and labels to lawn signs in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts. AmherstCopy.com.
Well, we were supposed to be talking today about the Trump cabinet. I still love anybody calling in and wanting to talk about individual picks. On the other hand, I'm going to be liberal and expansive today, and you can talk about anything political that you want now. Okay, so we will go to Ruby in Phoenicia. Okay, Ruby in Phoenicia, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon, Alan.
Sure.
I just wanted to ask, among other things, the appointments that he is making,
yep.
How much autonomy do they actually have? Is he privy to what they're about to decide and release, and can he control that?
You better believe he's going to control it, and you better believe that the way this is done, Ruby, is that they not only pick the secretary, but they pick the deputy secretary, and they pick the deputy's deputy. And when the White House says jump, everybody jumps. The governors have been doing that increasingly in New York State, for example, also. So your answer is, could these guys go out on their own? They could, but he can fire them at will, and he will. Because
okay.
He's a guy who
the
likes to.
He's
a guy who likes to say you're fired. Go ahead.
Right. The reason I ask is because, from a distance, it seems that the people that voted him in and rejected all the people that he's now appointed, you would think that they wouldn't be happy. Let me just say one thing about that is that those voters. Because this morning I heard you saying maybe now they'll say they're dissatisfied with him. They will never, they'll go to the poorhouse. They will never say that he was the wrong pick.
Well,
they will never give the Democrats the satisfaction of hearing them say that they were wrong in picking him.
Okay, so a guy writes me a letter recently, Ruby, and he says, you're all wrong, you're lefty, you're this, you're that. All untrue. But he says, then he says, you guys are preaching to the choir. You have no idea what's going to happen here. And I say, okay, I was right about picking the election, and I believe I'm right about what's going to happen here. And I don't agree with you. I think when people Social Security get messed with, if they do that, or if Medicare gets messed with, if they do that. Or if the environmental laws are so screwed up that people's children are put at risk, it's just going to be a matter of time. But it will change, and a percentage of those people will change, and that's all you need. Hillary only lost by a few electoral votes in each of those places.
Well, if I could just say,
sure,
these changes that are anticipated,
yeah.
These are changes that wouldn't actually affect people like yourself that are already collecting Social Security or
right.
People that are close. It's for the future generations that these changes are aimed at, right?
Right.
Okay. Those people are the same people that 46% didn't come out to vote.
That's correct.
This is still theoretical.
That's correct. And you know what? Shame on them. And you're exactly right. It is theoretical. But sooner or later, Ruby, it stops being theoretical and it starts being real.
Yeah, but the action that is called for by them taking these steps is real now. These young people, Social Security is a distant maybe to them. I think you're going to be surprised. I think we're all going to be surprised at the lack of outrage, because a lot of people who are busy and say, oh, it's not going to affect me, I'll go work my three jobs
but not worry about it. But you know what? It won't be the first time that we're surprised. But in this case, and I'm a pretty morose fellow, in this case, I just think you're wrong. I think what happens is when it affects people, because people have been putting in their Social Security money already. So when you say, well, it's close, how close? Sooner or later, people say, well, that wasn't right. You took my money, and now you don't give me the product. I don't get that. Hey, Ruby, thank you. I agree.
I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I hope you're wrong, too. Thanks, Ruby. Call you.
Can I say one more thing?
Real fast, yeah.
Hey, real fast. The tweets that he's putting out, those are his press conferences.
Yes.
Every action he seems to take is creating more armor for himself. He gets to actually hold a press conference by saying what he wants in a tweet.
Okay. So what?
Not
so what,
having to answer any questions.
So what part of the?
I don't know if this is actually happening, but the press that would be there to ask questions at a press conference, they should tweet their questions.
Well,
people should know that questions are being asked, because he seems to be giving the illusion that nobody's asking because they didn't get the opportunity.
So they should
ask their questions in the same forum that he's giving the information.
Thank you, Ruby. All right, let's go to Richard in Kingston. Okay, Richard in Kingston, you're on. Go.
Yes, sir. How are you today?
Well, you know,
I just had a quick comment about a couple of things, and I think that he has alienated enough people in both the House and the Senate, and that's going to cause him problems with both confirmations, and I think they're just going to sit back and wait for him to screw up, which he will do, and impeach him.
Well, you know, you got to have very specific grounds for impeachment. First of all, I think you're really on.
Well, you do, but I mean, look at who we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to cross one of those lines very soon after he's sworn in. You can almost bank on it.
Well, I think you know what you're talking about. I think it's going to happen. I do. I think that he's going to make some. I mean, if they, for example, find collusion between anybody in the Trump camp and the Russians, for example, that becomes impeachable in my mind. But you've got to really find a smoking gun. That's what happened to Richard Nixon. That's what happened with the tapes, the missing time. But I do think that you're on the optimistic side, which I am too. I think if he keeps doing what he's doing, he's going to find himself in real trouble. What I'm worried about is that, and I've been severely criticized for saying this, by the way, is that he's putting generals in the cabinet. I think it's five. We're up to five now. Five generals.
Oh, yeah. I'm an old military person. I'm a combat veteran. You know, I agree. We need diplomats in those positions.
That's not my point. Hear me out for a second. And that is, remember in this election, he said, it's all rigged. Well, if you lose, will you be satisfied? No, I can't say that now. Okay, 4 years from now, he's the president of the United States, 7 days in May, he says, he looks at the polls, he says, oh, my God, I'm going to lose. And then he starts with this rigged stuff. It's all rigged. Therefore, we can't have an election until we get it unrigged. End of democracy as we know it.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I think he's going to shoot himself in the foot. I really think it's going to happen. And I think that he has, in fact, made enough enemies in the House and the Senate that they're going to be watching for anything they can get him on.
Well, that's right, but they have to be able to get him on something. Hey, Richard, thank you for the great call. Appreciate it very much.
Take care.
Yeah.
Bye.
And we'll go to Jess in Rosendale. All right, Jess in Rosendale, you're on.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
So, what's bothering me about this whole transfer of power, the choices for the cabinets, the connection to Russia, all of it. I'm not going to rehash it all. But what frightens me is that it really reminds me of the run up to going into Iraq.
Right.
And it seems that everybody I knew, probably everybody on the coasts, was totally aware of this being like a Halliburton oil grab, and And it just seemed like Cheney and his group were saying, yeah, so you know about it, but so what? We're going to do it anyway, and they did it anyway. And it seems similar to what's going on today.
And remember, Jess, you live in New York. So you say, everybody I knew. And you live in Rosendale, of all places. So of course, there's good.
My point is that I'm somebody who... Well, somebody mentioned before preaching to the choir, and don't take this wrong. It's just I listen to your station a lot. I agree with so much of what's said on the panel in the morning. And people say, you know, that the media is not covering this stuff. Well, some of the media is, and I think that people that tune into the branches of the media that are really nailing it, people like, Rachel Maddow and you and lots of other people, but that's not who most people are listening to.
Some people are.
That's yeah. right. And I that's why, so when you said I live in Rosendale, I live in New York, that's true. But it's frightening to me because so many people I know, if not everybody, is just up in arms about all this stuff. And yet Trump and the gang up there are just saying, yeah, so so what? We're still doing it. Just like Cheney.
Okay, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it a lot. Okay, now we're going to go to Ben in the Berkshires. All right, Ben in the Berkshires, go ahead.
Hey, Alan. I just had a comment that's pretty much in keeping with what Jess had just mentioned. I have a comment and a question. While I watched as Trump's transition, started to take place, I seem to recall, and I can't cite specific appointments, but I seem to recall the unnerving feeling of that there was, you know, a big, I don't know if I can say it on the radio, but a big FU to people who watched in dismay as some of these appointments started to take place. And this was before the probably the biggest, you know, one of those, which, you know, I would consider the Bannon appointment. So when I saw Trump initially come in, you know, of course, I'm cautious.
Ben, if I could cut you off for a second, Ben, I think it's Bannon who's calling these shots. I do.
Well, you know, and you said that earlier, and I listened carefully as you said that. So while I'm watching, this is in keeping with what Jess had just said, as I'm watching Trump come in, he reminds me a lot of Bush, kind of dulling the headlights. You know, there's evil there. There's people, someone pulling strings. And so even before Bannon had got the appointment, are we to assume that it was Bannon the whole time, saying, "Hey, Trump, look, go with that, go with every choice you make. Just make sure it pisses people off, that it ticks people off," and I'm trying to think, are there other people that we should be watching in addition to Bannon who may have very well had a lot to do with these, you know, getting the ball rolling with this kind of trend that we're seeing and are, you know, largely appalled by, you know, most of the country who voted not for him is just, I mean, awestruck right now as these appointments are coming in. And, you know, this idea of like a shadow administration, the way that we kind of eventually identified Cheney and cohorts during the Bush years, are there other people on the radar, on your radar, that you would say, watch out for this guy? You know,
well, I do people, think, you know, people... Ben, let me just say, I think that the person you got to watch here is going to be Chuck Schumer, because the Senate is very, very close. I think a two vote difference. And Schumer is going to have a lot to work with in terms of stopping appointments and setting up a philosophical construct that we can watch in terms of dealing with this new administration. But I think that's what I'd stop with. You said you had a question. What's your question? Was that the question?
Well, that was the question. That was either, you know, it was a comment and a question. A lot of Trump reminds me of the way that Bush looked when he came in. And the way that Bush looked during his presidency, just in the headlights, you know, someone pulling strings, obviously.
So I don't agree. I think Bush was a whole other kettle of fish, to be honest with you. Yeah.
So you think Trump knows more about what he's actually doing than
absolutely do. I absolutely do, and it scares the hell out of me. But thank you, Ben. Appreciate it a lot. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Alan.
Bye. Yep. Let's go to Gary in Greenfield. All right, Gary in Greenfield, you're on.
Hello,
Gary.
You there?
Yeah, we're here.
Good. About halfway through the show, someone called about the national popular vote. without naming it by name. Yeah. I thought it was worth naming it by name.
Sure, go ahead.
Popular vote.
Sure.
And I also wanted to provide the information that with the 11 states that have enacted it, those 11 states control 165 electoral votes, so about three-fifths of the way there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't know about that, but I do know that when you get New York and California and some of the left of the country, and I mean that left coast, as we say, it is not surprising that those add up rather quickly. But you got to get to that 270.
Yep, about three-fifths of the way there.
Okay, Gary, thank you.
So I think it's worthwhile.
Okay, Gary,
Thanks for the show.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye. Okay, and now we're going to go to, oh boy, Joanna, who's been hanging on faithfully on line number 7. Johanna, sorry for keeping you waiting. Whoa. Johanna seems to have given up on us, and I don't blame her. That wasn't nice. Let's go to Teresa in Chatham. All right, Teresa in Chatham, go.
Hello, yes. Actually, the previous caller just made my point about the national popular vote. So
okay.
I'll hang up and you can get to another caller.
Thank you, Teresa. That's all very right. charitable of you. Okay, let's go to Helen in New Windsor. Helen in New Windsor, you're on.
Hi there. I've been listening to all of the callers and everybody's going on about what they think Trump is up to. And to me, it's pretty obvious with his picks. He has picked military leaders that will keep a thumb on things, so he really doesn't have to pay too much attention to what's going on. And he's got all of these guys in business that are going, he really honestly believes that he can get this country working to the point where everybody's got tons of money, tons of this, tons of that. And he'll also make a lot of money, and so will his friends. But he sees nothing wrong with that. He sees nothing wrong with being the president of the United States and an Uber businessman at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting here over the last week watching my stock prices go through the roof.
Are you happy?
No, because first of all, you don't want those types of things to happen, because when they go up, they go down, and when they go down, they go worse than the going up. No, I'm not happy. I'm not happy about it because I'm watching what's going on. People in this country they don't care about the environment. Most people. I'm not saying that people on the left don't care, and there's a lot of people on the right that do care about those things. But by and large, there's a lot of stockholders now very happy with the way things are going to go for the next
Bottom line, Helen, because we're coming to the end of the show.
Yeah.
Your last comment is going to be ...
That I'm watching my prices go through the roof, and I don't think people really care one way or the other who he has in as long as the money's coming in.
Could be. You're right. Thank you, Helen. Okay, and let's go now to Fred in Craryville. I love Craryville. Come on, Fred. You're on.
Well, thank you, Alan. I'm going to make this quick.
It has to be. Yeah.
One of my biggest concerns actually is Ben Carson.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a guy who actually said... And with all the fake news out there, I actually looked it up. It's in the Washington Post, New York Times, BBC, that Joseph, biblical Joseph, built the pyramids to be used as grain silos.
Yeah, a little mistake.
that's the part that actually scares me the most, is none of these people have any experience in the departments in which they're being given the head of.
Yeah. Well,
so
I think that may be the point. The point is he wants to run everything. He's putting some symbolic people up front, and his people will manage it all. Believe me, they will manage it. But thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much. Okay, we don't have any more time. I'm so sorry. So Emily and Tommy, who we have left on the phone, I do apologize. We did hear from a critic. A constant critic who says from Scott, maybe Trump should appoint a bunch of academics who have actually done nothing and save politicians. We elected Trump because he was successful and make change. I agree with appointing successful people, says Scott. Okay, so we are just about out of time. And that is a point at which we thank everybody and we say we're sorry we left people on the line. And then we say, is there anybody who can hand me the right piece of paper? And then we say, okay, thank you. Then we say thank you, don't we? We say, all right, here's what we say. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Gazebo, Northampton, Massachusetts, an independent lingerie shop specializing in bra and post-mastectomy fittings, providing support to the Pioneer Valley for almost 40 years. The Dash, gazebo.com. Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, custom designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly passive and solar design elements, noble-home.net, and the Albany Pine Bush Preserve, presenting Pine Bush Perspectives, a juried photo exhibit featuring photographs of the natural environment taken by visitors, albanypinebush.org, The Black Sheep, Downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter-scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee, BlackSheepDeli.com. Thanks again for joining us. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Our calls were answered by Colleen O'Connell. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.